Hello there, and welcome to this episode of Force Ghost Conversations. As always, this is your host, Anthony King, and in this episode, I'm going to talk about Indiana Jones and the Disney Parks. Before we get started, I'm inviting you to join the conversation with us. We can be found on Twitter and Hive at Force Ghost Pod. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok just by searching Force Ghost Conversations. Also, please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast on your listening site of choice. Force Ghost Conversations is also live on Patreon. If you're a fan of the podcast and would like to consider pledging your support, there'll be a link in the episode description for you to check out the various tiers offered. Finally, please be sure to check out our TeePublic store to buy some Force Ghost Conversations merchandise. And without further ado, it's time to gather around the campfire for some Force Ghost Conversations. All right, everyone, it's so glad to have you back, or I'm so glad, I should say, to have you back for another installment of Force Ghost Conversations. And I think this is a logical progression for the conversation here, right? We've done the last couple of weeks here, we've been talking all about Star Wars in the parks. We've been talking about Galaxy's Edge. We did a full four-part series on that. And last week, we talked about Star Tours. And what else is in the Lucas canon that we can also talk about that has a substantial presence across the parks, which is none other than our favorite archaeologist and professor, Indiana Jones, Dr. Henry Jones Jr., of course. And we have some wonderful rides across the world that invoke the fun, the adventure, and let's dare I say, the romance of this 30s B-movie action hero that we all know and love. Now, before we get into all that, because of course I want to touch upon the three main rides, at least, or experiences, let's say, too, because it's more than just a ride, that I can think of. So these include the Indiana Jones Adventure at Disneyland, and also they have the Indiana Jones Adventure Crystal Skull version in Tokyo Disneyland. There's the Indiana Jones Epic Stunt Spectacular, which is featured in Hollywood Studios at Walt Disney World. And lastly, the Indiana Jones Roller Coaster, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Peril, Indiana Jones et du Peril. Oh my gosh, did I just butcher all of that? Apologies to our French-speaking audience. Oh my gosh. I do my best if I can on talking, but I also know when I have no idea how to speak a language. So I'm going to also talk about that ride in a little bit. Before we get into all that, just wanted to note that it is raining where I am recording right now, at least on the outside. I am safe and comfortable on the inside, naturally, but it is raining outside, so you may hear some raindrops hitting on the windowsill right beside me. It is a very cozy way to record a podcast, I gotta tell you, and it is a wonderful way to talk all about our favorite archaeologist and adventurer, as I talked about before, Henry Jones Jr., Indiana Jones, as he appropriately likes to call himself. Now, Indiana Jones is no stranger to adventure, the wilds of the world, discovery, fun. So it makes sense that for a company that is based primarily in theme parks, or at least has a large presence in those activities, that they would want to explore those IP. Now, you got to remember, the three rides and experiences that we're going to talk about today came out before the purchase of Lucasfilm. So these were wonderful collaborations of IP between studio and studio in order to have these presents in the parks. And it's a win-win for everybody because, again, like I said, the adventure and the spirit there is there for this character that it makes natural sense that they would want to do that. Now let's first talk about Indiana Jones Adventure, also known as the Temple of the Forbidden Eye, which premiered in Disneyland in Anaheim, California on March 3rd, 1995. How was that special to me? Well, your host was born on March 1st, 1995, so this basically is a birthday ride for me. I think you all know by this point my history with this franchise, how I really only discovered it later in life, but it's cool to know that I have somewhat of a connection. It probably means nothing to you all. This actually does mean a lot to me. I like knowing that there are some weird connections to this. Like, I think like Dr. Seuss was born on March 2nd or something like that, and I've always felt like an interesting connection to him, whether that means, I don't know, that doesn't really mean a whole lot to anybody, but for some reason that just has some sort of semblance of meaning to me. So this ride, of course, opens on March 1995, and again in 2001 they opened up a separate edition in the Tokyo Disney Sea Park Temple of the Crystal Skull. No connection at all, though, to the Indiana Jones fourth film of the same title, or similar title, I should say. Now, here's the interesting thing. I was never at Disneyland until last year for Star Wars Celebration in Anaheim. As a big fan of this franchise and coming to it later in life, I knew that this was a big ticket item that I must go on. Mrs. Force Ghost Conversations Elise also was like, we're getting on this ride one way or another. This looks amazing. I had been on Dinosaur in Animal Kingdom, which of course, as many of you probably know, is the same ride track, basically. The same structure, the concept is the same. You're in this herky-jerky kind of armored personnel carrier that will transport you from place to place on a roaming track. Dinosaur is great. I love Dinosaur. That's one of my favorite rides in Disney World. Let's rest in peace. We'll talk about that later. It's a great ride, and I highly implore that you ride it if you get the chance to. So the fact that you're combining both a ride track that I love plus an IP that I love and talking about some great adventure that I didn't know that you'd potentially be on, right? It's not canon, but it, you know, if you believe, it could be, right? You get to hear John Rhys Davies in the queue line. And if you're stuck in that queue line, you're probably tired of hearing from Sala, John Rhys Davies. That was my immediate thought when walking through there. Of course, we had Genie Plus Fast Passes for the Lightning Lane to get on this ride, because it is a ride that breaks down all the time. Fortunately, for those that go to the parks often, you probably know the plight and trials that I'm talking about here. This ride's got a lot of moving parts, a lot of moving pieces. And if any of those break down, this ride is also almost 30 years old at this point. I mean, I'm dating myself by saying that. But it is great. The ride itself is a turbulent quest aboard military troop transport vehicles through a dangerous subterranean lost temple guarded by a supernatural power. That comes from the Wikipedia description of the ride, which is 100% accurate. You're not supposed to look the Forbidden Eye you're not supposed to look into it. Otherwise, you know, bad things will happen to you. You won't survive the treacherous journey. But you know, Indy, he's going to make it out on the other side, whether one way or another. He will stumble his way through to victory, as is the Indiana Jones way. The ride itself is so much fun. You get to see all these great, you get to literally be a part of an adventure. And it's not one that it's like a super big thrill ride. The theming is just really on par with this one, and that's why it stands out so much amongst the other ones. And I believe it's in Frontierland or Adventureland or something like that. It's right beside the Jungle Cruise, so it also just lines into that fun, easygoing, action, adventure, B-serial, fun type of things that you want to experience when you're at one of these parks. It's not the super thrill ride, so a large range of people can enjoy this ride. And I'm one of them. You know, I'm not the biggest fan of roller coasters. I'm not going to want to jump on something that drops me 50,000 times. Looking at you, not Cosmic Rewind, but looking at you, Mission Breakout in California Adventure. Remind me to share that story someday. That's a fun one about me going on that one. Oof. Woof. This one is fun from start to finish. The theming, like I mentioned, is great. You're part of a great adventure. I can't say enough about this great ride. You need to experience it for yourself. That's really what I'm saying. Go experience this ride. I literally just want to go back to Disneyland just to ride this again. But from D23 Expo, Destination D, that happened a few weeks ago, we were told that they're exploring ways to replace dinosaur, and one of those options at Animal Kingdom is an Indiana Jones attraction. So maybe they bring the Indiana Jones Adventure over to World. Perhaps they refurbish it in some way. I mean, the basic ride track is there, so why not? It's a popular, fan-friendly adventure ride. And with the recent film that just came out, of course, it's now part of the IP family that the property that the company owns. Now, there's the question: will it complement the other Indiana Jones item, if you will, that is at Walt Disney World, which is none other than the Epic Stunt Spectacular? This opened in August of 1989, and it was the first attraction at the Disney park from this franchise. And this is such a unique experience, right? This goes straight into the line of what Hollywood Studios is kind of was originally intended to do, which was showcase the making of movies and the fun of that whole process, right? I think we're thinking of the Great Movie Ride. I think you're thinking of the Backlot Tour experience. And of course, stunts are so much a part of films, especially action adventure films that we probably know and love so well if you're listening to this podcast. This ride includes various stunts and live reenacted scenes from the series' first film, Raiders. It was executive produced by George Lucas himself and directed by Jerry Reese with stunt coordination by Glenn Randall. This comes from Wikipedia, of course. This was my introduction to the franchise. I've talked at length about how I was not allowed to watch these movies, how this was a part of my life that I'm so sad that I didn't get to experience earlier. Fortunately, though, in 2007 or 2008, can't remember the exact dates, when I went to World for the, not for the first time, but for the first time that I can really remember, because I went when I was 3 and I got no memories of that one. I'm a 12, 13-year-old going to the parks for the first time that I can really remember and experience and have this real joy that I wanted to. And when I'm exposed to this experience, this was where the wheels started turning. And that's when I asked my mom, "Hey, can I watch these movies?" And she really put her foot down and said, "No, I'm surprised that we even got to watch this show. I think it was just one of those things where, well, we paid for the ticket, we might as well do everything in the park." It's also a great way to kind of get off your feet, just take your mind off of things. It's hot in the Florida sun, all that great stuff. You just can't, you gotta take advantage of the stuff when you can. And this is one of those things I think she, for whatever reason, she foregone her animosity towards Frank. I don't know really what it was. She said, "We can do it." And I saw some of these reenacted scenes and imageries that I had no idea what they meant or what they were tied into. It was kind of just scenes out of context. But for everybody around me, they loved it. And I also had a great time just watching this. I love seeing the magic of the stunts. It's something that I'd always enjoyed. I'd appreciate it. I love seeing behind the scenes details of movies. The magic has never really spoiled for me when I watch these kind of things. In fact, it enhances the magic, because magic to me is quoted in a different movie as just science that we don't understand. So now that I understand it, it's even more majestic or magical to me in a way. So it's a lot of fun, and if you're going to the parks, I obviously think that this is something that you should want to have in your repertoire of things that you're going to do on your list. We're moving down to Florida very soon here as we're closing on our house, and as you know, we'll probably be annual pass holders because of that. I mean, why not? You're going to be in the area often. You might as well take advantage of that resource around you. And I obviously wanted to have more content for the show. For this podcast, so that we can talk about these great things. And I want to, have specific episodes about this great stuff rather than just talking at large, if you will. I want to have specific episodes detailing experiences about this stuff. And you are very, you guys are a smart audience. You're going to know that this is going to be one of the top things on my list to go check out, obviously. go see the Indiana Jones Epic Stone Spectacular. You definitely won't regret it. And lastly, the main, basically the biggest ride, if you will, is Indiana Jones and the Temple of Peril, which opened with Disneyland Paris in July of 1993. So very soon after the park opened, which just celebrated its 30th anniversary, really relatively soon here. So this ride is almost, just celebrated the 30th anniversary itself. So that's pretty cool. It is a roller coaster attraction, and boy, we're going to watch, I'm going to react to the ride itself. It's only basically like a minute and a half long. It's a roller coaster. It doesn't seem like it's super intense. It seems like it's something that looks like a little bit of Space Mountain with a loop. It's a steel operated roller coaster with great theming. I think it looks great, but evidently a lot of people are just mean to it online. I'm looking at these comments of the ride itself, and they're like, it's just a clone layout, shallow theming, the layout isn't unique. I'm like, come on, why are we so pessimistic? It's a Indiana Jones roller coaster. Can't we have some fun in this world? Come on, it makes sense this would be an Indiana Jones ride. I mean, come on now. There's literally basically a roller coaster in the second film. This should be at every park, if you ask me. This may be the reason why we have to go to Disneyland Paris. Just because I get to ride this thing. The minute and a half is totally worth it, if you ask me. The guests in the ride itself and the adventure are taking basically on a mining train through a lost temple. This is exactly right up the alley of this adventure archaeologist that we know and love. Anywho, I'm going to watch someone riding it, and I'm going to react to it, because I think this is a ride that is not only very friendly for a large range of folks. It doesn't seem like it's the most intense roller coaster ever. It seems like it's a fun way to utilize IP. And I think we should just allow ourselves the space and the freedom to have fun. I'm going to watch a video here. It's called Brave the Unknown in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Peril. And they also do a little bit of facts here, fun facts with the ride. Of course, I think the ride just itself just looks really cool. I think the theming is great, and I don't think people should be so mean about it. Holy cow. Apparently, the attraction was only built in 9 months. That's pretty quick, too. Making it one of the fastest built Disney attractions. I mean, hey, good on the Imagineers for putting it together pretty fast. I like that it's a little bit outdoor too. You get to see all the fun sights and all that around you. This temple is clearly of the canon of the franchise. George Lucas, who obviously is a big part of why these films exist, was present at the attraction's opening, which makes sense. You want to have the maker there. All right, we just went down a big loop there. It looks like it's basically just a little bit like Space Mountain. Just some big twists and turns, some drops. Not big drops or anything like that, but just some drops to give you some speed to go around some of these turns here. A little bit of a loop, kind of like the Incredicoaster, which probably is one of those that you don't even feel like you're going into a loop as you're going through it. Includes a perfectly circular inversion. Yeah, it's over before you even know it. And you're just basically just collecting speed the entire time. Apparently it was the first ever on a Disney attraction, which I know that Incredicoaster does it. I'm pretty sure, even though it's dark, Rock and Roller Coaster probably does one too. And evidently from 2000 to 2004, guests got to ride backwards on the ride. I'll have to ask Mercedes if she ever did. That'd be interesting to know, because I wonder how this ride would be backwards. And like that, it's over. You get to just basically go your whole way through a mining temple or on a mining cart through this temple. It's very easy, quick. It's fun. It's to the point. And I think more rides like this should exist across the parks. I think that this is an underutilized IP across all the parks that they've got going right now. And the fact that they're making plans potentially to expand it to World only makes me the more happier. So those are my thoughts on Indiana Jones and the Disney parks. Again, as we travel to these places and have more frequent visits with all this stuff, I want to have more conversations about these and talk through the possibilities of what the future could hold, especially as more details get announced about more rides and parks that are coming to these places. I want to hear about your experiences. Have you been to Disneyland Paris? Have you been on the Temple of Peril? Have you survived it? Have you been through the Stunt Spectacular? What are your thoughts seeing it? Was it your first experience to the franchise like mine was? Let's talk about it. What do you think about the Disneyland ride out in Anaheim? Is it one of the best in the park? It might be. It might be next to Rise of the Resistance and Space Mountain, Big Thunder Mountain. This rivals it. Honestly, it is a top tier attraction, if you ask me. But of course, those are my opinions. I want to hear about you all. Connect with us on the social channels, Instagram, Twitter, Hive, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok. We're available. Just search Force Ghost Conversations and we'll be there. You can also, if you would like, support the show in other ways, such as subscribing so you don't miss an episode, leaving us a rating and a review because those help to expand the show. Tell your friends about us via social media or just word of mouth. Those are great ways to get some of our listens and downloads up more, which we appreciate. And if you like, we also have a Patreon site where for as little as $1 a month, you can get access to a ton of Force Ghost Conversations goodies. And we also have a merchandise site on TeePublic where you can find logo-inspired t-shirts and hoodies, as well as pillows, blankets, I think. Certainly iPhone covers I've seen, as well as baby clothing and a plethora of other items. Just search on that site and you'll be able to find all the things that we have to offer. So with that, folks, we'll be back with a brand new episode next week. And until then, may the Force be with you. Take care.